And now, friends and neighbors, we have another guest with us on Memories and Music. Our guest is a man well known in Sudbury and Copper Cliff and throughout the North, Mr. Henry Dunn. Mr. Dunn retired in 1969. He is now 68 years of age. He was 26 years with Inco as assistant steward in the Inco Club. Well, now, Mr. Dunn, you're not, obviously, you're not from Sudbury in the originally. Where are you from? Where's your hometown?
I come from Bonfield.
I must confess, I don't know where Bonfield is. Where is it and how big is it?
It's east of North Bay, about 18 miles on the Ottawa Highway.
And what did your father do there?
My father was a bush ranger for the government and a fire ranger in the summertime.
Oh, I see. What would his duties be as a bush ranger?
Checking on timber, and that'll be a winter job, and summertime it was a fire ranger.
Oh, interesting. Where was he from? Was he a native of that area?
No, he come from around Ottawa.
Right. And your mother?
My mother is a native of Bonfield.
Oh, did you have any brothers or sisters?
Yes, I have two brothers living and a sister.
Oh, where are they now and what are they doing, Henry?
My sister lives in Falmouth, Nova Scotia. She's Mrs. Bob Brown. He was well known here in Sudbury as superintendent at Crane Hill. And one of my brothers is right here in town, and the other brother is in Timmins.
Henry, I see if we can get a little information here on growing up in Bonfield. What did a young fella do for fun and entertainment growing up in Bonfield?
Oh, we did like most of the boys. We played a lot of ball, hockey, swimming. There's a lake right there.
Right, and you'd go to school and you'd learn reading, writing, and arithmetic, I guess, eh?
Right, right.
Something happened about the time you were 13. What was that story?
I lost my leg when I was, the day after my birthday, 13 years old. I was jumping on a freight train, trying to get a free ride.
Henry, that's a long time ago, and I know that you've, in a sense, overcome this problem, but that was certainly not a very wise thing to do, eh? Maybe there'll be some young fellows listening to this program. What do you mean? How did you do it? You missed your hold, or tell us about it as you remember that incident.
Well, there was some of my relation going away that morning, and the station was about a half a mile from town, and a freight train pulling in on the siding, and me and a couple of my friends went to jump on, and I missed my hold and fell on the rail and cut my foot off.
Well, there's a moral there, friends, and you young people. Although I don't suppose any that there are as many boys and young men hopping freights as there used to be, say, in the 30s.
No, there isn't, no.
Nothing like that.
I wasn't hopping it. It was just for fun, that's all. I was fooling around.
Right. Well, now that would be a tragic thing to happen to a 13-year-old, who liked athletics, but you didn't let it beat you, Henry. Is that right?
That's right.
Well, what did you do? How did you react to it? You kept playing ball and hockey or something? Tell us about that.
Well, I never give up. I loved hockey, baseball, and I kept right at it. I played in the nets in hockey. I played second base, catcher, and pitch in baseball.
Henry, I find that fascinating. Did this... this would hamper you to some degree, but could you still hit and you could still run, eh?
Yes, I could, yes. In fact, I think I'd have made pro ball if I hadn't lost that leg.
Well, I think maybe you might have, with that kind of spirit. But then as you got a little older, you moved, I think, to Montreal. Is that
right? That's right, yes. I spent 5 years in Montreal.
What were you doing there?
The first 2 years I worked for my uncle in the... He owned the Standard Broom and Brush Company. And in the meantime, I took up the barber trade.
Well, that's fair enough. Did you work for someone, or did you have your own shop, or what?
No, I didn't believe in working for anybody else. I always had my own shop.
Good. Then you returned to back to the old hometown at Bonfield.
That's right.
What did you do there?
I opened a billiard room, barber shop, and confectionery stand there.
Well, good for you. And something else, I believe, the young lady from the Sioux you met, something transpired around about this time, right?
Yes. 1932, I met my wife, and we got married in Bonfield.
Finally, this, we're talking about the middle of Depression. Times were tough, but you you made a living, eh?
Oh, yes, pretty fair living. The Trans-Canada Highway was going through at the time, and there was a camp 2 miles out of Bonfield, and I was timekeeper on that camp. And I had my business in the evenings.
Well, you can't complain, eh? There'd be a lot of unemployed men from all over the province.
Yes.
They got board and room, and what did they get paid?
$5 a month.
Well, it's better than no dollars a month, I suppose.
That's right, yes.
You left Bonfield around 33 or 34.
It was 34 when I come up to Sudbury, yes.
What prompted the move to Sudbury?
Well, to better myself. Things were pretty quiet after the Trans-Canada was finished down there.
So what'd you do in Sudbury?
I opened a barber shop right off when I come to Sudbury.
Yeah, that figures. Where were you located?
On Beach Street, just across the street from DeMarco Brothers.
Is the shop still standing?
No, the building is tore down now. And then later on, I took over the Nickel Range Annex, and I had a barber shop, billiard room, and boxing club in there.
Now, let's not get ahead of ourselves here. Now, I operating a barber shop and a billiard parlor, you'd get to know some people, some athletes around town, eh? Who are some of the fellows that you got to meet? There were some of your customers in there.
Well, Jim Dewey was better known, and... Oh, there was Spike Bowl, a lot of the ball players, Don Price, different ones, George Hasty.
Were they pretty good pool players? Did you play
pool? No, they weren't pool players. They were athletes, hockey players and ball players.
And they came in to get haircuts.
Right.
Fair enough. Then, as you say, you opened up behind the Nickel Range. Now, and you... quite an interest in boxing. What got this started, Henry?
Well, I started that down in Montreal when I was there with Excelsior Henderson Club. And I handled quite a few fighters there, train and promote. And then when I came to Sudbury, I got right back into it.
Just sort of got in the blood then, is that right?
That's right.
Now you had the... one or two or more pretty good amateur fighters here in Sudbury. Can you remember some of the names?
Oh, yes. There's one of the best to come right here from Sudbury was Dooley Bova. He was a welterweight, and they called him the Sudbury Wildcat. He was terrific.
Uh-huh. Anybody else that sticks in your mind?
Yes, there's Cliff Beckett. He hailed from Winnipeg. And... he went on to fight Sugar Ray Robinson twice and Tony Zale once.
Well, anybody who stayed in there with Robinson and Zale must have been quite a fighter.
He was terrific.
Well, now you'd get to know him pretty well when he was starting out. What did he have that enabled him to do that?
Well, one thing, he had a lot of courage, and he was very fast. He wouldn't back down from Joe Louis.
Right, well, that's going to be a fighter. That's the all I'm trying to get at, Henry, is that you'd get to know him pretty well. Was he a pretty good boy? Did you get fond of him?
Yes, he was very nice. Very nice man. Nice boy.
He took off from here to go to the States to earn a living in the ring. Is that what happened?
That's right, yeah.
Do you think maybe he got overmatched a little early in his career or something down there?
Well, he did. He did, but the only way I guess he could get in there was the syndicate he was connected with, and they pushed him a little too fast.
Well, I guess that happens, eh, in the fight game.
Yes.
We were getting ready here for our little talk. Have you mentioned battling Brannan or Branning?
Oh, yes, yes. Elmer Branning, he hailed from the West, too, and he trained with...
I'll just think now. We can't remember back.
He trained with Jimmy McLaren out West.
Well, now, there's a famous name in boxing. What... he must have some stories to tell about Jimmy. What are some of the stories he's got to tell us about Jimmy?
Well, he told me about Pop Foster and Jimmy McLaren, the sessions they had in training and running 5 miles every day. He claims that Jimmy was terrific, a good, very good fighter, and easy to handle, very easy to handle.
I think so, and... McLaren was a hard hitter and in good shape when he did his fighting in the States.
Yes, yes, he was. He won the title over there twice, I think, Jimmy McLaren.
I think he did. Yeah. I don't remember. He fought somebody down there, a famous name. It was either Tony Zale or Tony Canzoneri or some name like that he fought two or three famous fights with.
Yes, he did. Offhand, I can't remember the guy's name.
Does Branning ever hear from McLaren?
Not that I know of, no. I was talking to Branning last night and reminiscing about the old lamb fights.
What are some of these fights that you reminisced about?
Well, there's one fight that he fought here in Sudbury against Johnny Ross at St. Anne's Hall. And he had Ross just out, completely out on his feet. And Ross let go of one punch, knocked him out.
That can happen, I guess, to the best fighters, eh? Well, what was Branning? He was a welter, too, was he?
Yes.
And did he work with Inkle?
Yes, he just retired here about a couple of months ago.
Well, I knew we were pushing on to around 38, 39, and 40, and it seems to me that Inco management took quite an interest in athletics or local things, and you got yourself hired, is that right?
That's right.
And you have quite a distinction, I think, so far as being hired by Inco is concerned.
Well, I think I was the first man that Inco ever hired with an artificial leg.
I think... Until somebody disputes that, I think you've got that distinction, Henry. All right, now, Inco supported baseball. Of course, times were a little different in those days. This was before there were quite so many cars and television and whatnot. You got yourself, first of all, into softball, was that right?
That's right.
Tell us something about the softball.
Well, this started in 39 or 40, and I had a team that won the Northern Ontario Championship 3 years in a row.
It's not bad. Now, who was doing your pitching for you?
In softball, there was Oscar Clucci and George Jenkins.
What did they have, a nice high, hard one that they could
get
yes.
over there? Oh, yes, they had pretty near everything. They were good.
And did you have a Hank Aaron on your club?
Yes, we had. Spike Bowl was one of our heavy hitters.
Is, are any of these people likely to be listening to this show now?
Oh, yes, they will be, yes.
Well, do you want to say hello to Spike, eh? Or to right. Boucher or to Jenkins?
Yes, yes, I'd like to. But...
I hope that maybe they'll get a kick about thinking back in some of those days, eh?
Yes.
Then, interest in softball waned and you turned to hardball.
In 45, you turned the whole softball team into hardball. All we did was pick up a couple of pitchers. The rest was all the softball team.
And how about your friend Bull? Did he hit hardball pitching too?
Oh, he was a hardball player before he ever turned to softball.
He was
good.
Fine. How did your hardball club get along?
Well, we did something like the Expos for the first couple of years. We didn't do too good.
Uh-huh.
But in 47, we won the championship, Nickel Belt Championship.
Very, very good. Who were these pitchers that you had with you?
We had Morris Sanamore, Tug Parry, and Harry Hatto.
Some of our sport fans will get quite a kick out of these names. Any of them with Inco, or were they with Inco, or what?
They were all with Inco at one time. There's two of them still there. Hatto and Parry are still with Inco.
Still with Inco, eh?
Yes.
But we don't want to go into too many details, but I think that you got yourself bounced out of the league around about this time. Is that true?
Yes, that's true. In the 48, there was misunderstanding, and the players and myself, we just refused to play, so we were out.
So well, that sums that one up. And your club then carried on, but folded in around in the mid-50s. Is that right?
That's right, yeah.
But did you not manage another club then?
Yes, I managed the Froude hardball team for 3 years after that.
How about some names from that Froude team that you remember?
Oh, Billy Dempkew, Bert Plouffe, Smith brothers. It was four Smith brothers. No, three Smith brothers.
Three Smith brothers.
And another Smith. But no relation.
I see. They didn't sell the cough drops.
No.
How did their fruit club go?
Well, it was all local talent that we had on our team, and the other teams had the imports. So we just held our own, you know. Didn't get no place, though.
Well, that's wrong with that. And because you're with Inco and you're promoting sport, you got yourself a horseshoe pitching or something, right?
Right, we have a horseshoe league.
And
every year it's going pretty good.
It's still going well.
Yes,
right?
It is, yes.
And wrist wrestling.
The wrist wrestling, we started that just lately, but it's going over big.
Wrist wrestling is something I don't know much about. Now, when I say I don't much about it, I've seen it. No, I've tried it. Usually lost. But is there a Canadian champion?
Yes, there is. Yes.
Is there a United States American champion?
Yes.
Do you think that someday there will be a world champ or something like that?
Yes, I'd say there would. Last year, Timmons run the Canadian championships up there. And they're running it again this year. And there's one gentleman from Chelmsford here, Mr. Vancour, Rudy Vancour. He was runner-up last year. He's a very, very strong man, and he's going back to the championships again.
Well, now, do these fellows go into training for wrist wrestling?
Yes, they do, yes.
Well, now, they might lift weights, but do they do any other special training? I mean, would they sort of pull out on some weights or something to strengthen? What muscles do they use?
Well, it's all arm. But I know Mr. Vancour, he has a machine that he built with weights, and he's just like twisting a man.
He's pulling it, yeah. And always adding, yeah, a few more ounces.
And he's been doing that all winter. So he'll be in good shape.
He'll be in good shape, yeah. When this thing comes up. Henry, incidentally, folks, we're having a chat here with Mr. Henry Dunn, who retired in 1969 after 26 years with Inco, during which time he was assistant steward with the Inco Club. He's always been interested in sport, baseball, softball, boxing. We've just been talking, he got horseshoe pitching going. We were talking about arm wrestling. I think, Henry, that you got honored by the Kinsman Club not too long ago. Is that true, sir?
Yes, in 1969, I was given the honor of being put in the Hall of Fame by the Kinsman Club, yes.
That's very nice. And just, also about the Canadian boxing.
Yeah, just recently at the Eastern Canadian Championships, I've been given the honor of Canadian Boxing Association.
Very nice. Very, very nice. Nice recognition. Now, Canada has not done too well in the Olympics, as I remember them, but it seems to me they didn't do too badly last time around. Do you remember anything about that?
Yes, I do. There was one chap, Morgan from Nova Scotia, a heavyweight. He put up a very good showing.
I remember that. He was a little unskilled, but he put up quite a fight, as I recall.
That's right. Yes, he is.
In your view, who is the greatest Canadian fighter, professional?
Well, the greatest Canadian that I saw, I'd say it was Clyde Gray.
We'd have to include McLaren here somewhere along the line, too, eh?
Well, if you put it that way, yes, McLaren is in there. Oh, definitely first.
I think first.
Oh, yes, first. And then, but the ones that I saw would be Clyde Gray and Chavallo.
Right. Yeah. Chavallo is a tough man.
Yes, he sure is tough.
He's fought some of the world's best.
He fought Clay twice. He fought Clay in Toronto and he fought him out in West Coast.
Right. Yeah. Well, boxing has been an interest of yours all your life. You've gotten to know some fighters, some promoters. Who do you pick who is your pick as the all-time great heavyweight fighter?
In my opinion, I'd say Joe Louis.
Well, that's fair enough. How do you think he would have fared against Marciano, for instance?
Well, if Marciano would knock him out, he'd win the fight. Dempsey'd win the fight.
Fair enough. It's pretty hard to call that one, isn't it?
Yes.
Marciano is a tough man.
Yes.
And, well, as a matter of fact, now that I think about it, Marciano did knock out Joe Louis, didn't he? And of course,
yes.
Louis was well past his peak.
Yes, he did.
At that time.
That's right. Yes.
How about Marciano and put you on the spot now, Henry? You're in the business, as it were. How about Marciano and our friend George Foreman?
Well, they're both hard hitters, both of them.
Yeah?
I think I'd have to go with Foreman. I think he's the hardest puncher I ever saw.
really think so, eh?
Yeah.
There are a lot of people who will agree with you. Now we've got Clay versus Foreman coming up. How do you call that one?
Foreman and five.
All right, all you people listening in, you make a note of that. You've got Henry Dunn has given his call, and if it doesn't work out like that, you know who to phone. If it does, why, he'll probably phone you. Friends, our guest, our most welcome guest, Henry Dunn, a native of Bonnefield, who retired from INCO in 1969, 26 years with INCO. In that time, he was assistant steward in the INCO club. He interested himself in all types of sporting activity, from horseshoes to boxing. Mr. Dunn, it's been a pleasure to have you as a guest on our show.
Thank you.